from Connect FM. This is Under Review, your weekly deep dive into the world of sports with Bob Anderson, Dave Glass, and Dave Herzing.
The Steelers beat Miami convincingly on Monday Night Football and are in the driver's seat in the AFC North. Can they actually make a run in a wide-open AFC? We'll discuss.
The Penguins blew two games over the weekend. Why is this happening, and what grade do we give Kyle Dubas for the Tristan Jarry trade? We'll share our thoughts.
The college football playoffs kick off on Friday. Who do we like to win? We'll make our predictions and touch on some other topics at the end of the show. I'm Dave Herzing.
I'm Dave Glass.
And I'm Bob Anderson. Stay tuned as we discuss these topics and more as we go Under Review.
Sponsored by Fatula Eye Care, the Falls Creek Eagles, and Labraska Plastic Surgery.
On Connect FM, your only local news radio.
Welcome to Under Review for Wednesday, December 17th. Just a reminder that we will be off the next 2 weeks for the holidays, but we'll be right back bringing you the best sports talk around on January 7th. Since we won't see each other over the holidays, what do you guys have planned?
Well, I've got all kinds of stuff planned. The kids don't come in until the week after Christmas, but then we're going to spend time with them. It's my birthday week, so yay, love that. And then I think, as you guys know, I won't be available on January 7th because we're taking my mom on a vacation.
That's
so
pretty cool.
I will be back on the 11th, so I'll see you guys on the 14th.
Well, being enjoy back yourself. Is the best. Yeah. We all know that. Anybody listens to the show knows that. Yeah, we're going to do a lot over the holidays as well. A lot of basketball for my son, gymnastics for my daughter, family stuff. I'm actually taking my family down to Orlando for New Year's. So we're going to spend a few days at Disney and a few days
awesome.
At Universal.
Get a break from the cold.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to the Mario World and Epic Universe. I heard the lines can be somewhat long, but that's okay. It'll be a lot of fun.
Well, hey, just to get away for a little bit. You know, nothing overly planned here. Definitely going to watch... what is it? The Wonderful Life?
It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, I got to watch that. Probably go to the trampoline park in State College.
Nice.
Or just maybe a day trip or two here and there. But just to be off and spend time with the family. That sounds really good to me.
Yeah, you get off for school here
I'll
on
be
Friday,
off for two
right?
Weeks.
Yeah,
that'll
sweet.
Be nice. Yeah. Well, after a slow start Monday night, the Steelers turned it on in the second half and beat the Dolphins 28-15. They're now in the driver's seat in the AFC North with an 8-6 record. Miami is officially eliminated. Nick Faribault wrote in his recap on PennLive.com that this was the Steelers' best game of the season. Do you guys agree?
Mostly. I think when you factor in the fact that TJ Watt was out, I think it probably was. I think it was their best defensive job of the year, especially against the run. I thought Miami's game plan was terrible. I didn't understand what they were doing in the first half. I think they could have come out with a better start. But, hey, credit where it's due. They won, and they are in the driver's seat, although I will say that even if they had lost, they're still in the driver's seat. All they have to do, whatever happens between now and the end, I think all they have to do is beat Baltimore. The rest of it hardly doesn't matter.
Yeah, they can lose the next two games against Detroit and Cleveland. If they beat Baltimore at the end of the season, they're in. So anyone who listens to the show knows I always pick Stairway. We'll save that pick for later, but I think they'll be okay, and I really do think they're in the driver's seat. Do I think they're going to make any noise in the playoffs? I don't know. They're consistently inconsistent. It's hard to put your finger on this team. I thought they looked a lot better last night, but again, they're playing the Dolphins. The start of that game was just atrocious. It was really bad football for quite some time. And then all of a sudden, just, you know, the levee broke and they decided to score some points. So
yeah, I agree. And the defense, like Dave was saying, held the Dolphins to 64 yards rushing, and that was without T.J. Watt and Derek Harmon. So that's something that they struggled with, especially against the Dolphins, who have been really running the ball well lately. They also ran 62 plays to the Dolphins 48. That's something we haven't seen for a while, where they've actually had more plays plays offensively than their opponent.
And they had wide receivers actually open, which I can't remember the last time I saw that. Valdez-Scantling was wide open in the end zone. I looked up and I was like, and I texted you guys. I'm like, is this a Steelers game?
Yeah, that was very unusual. It was funny too. A lot of people were talking about the ticket prices. Did you see how cheap it was to get into the game?
I'm sure
you could have
cheap.
Literally got. Now I think the lowers were like $30 to $40, $50, and then the uppers were like $10 because it was so cold.
You couldn't have paid me to go. And no. Certainly my wife, if she wouldn't have gone under for any price. We were in Pittsburgh. We'll get to the Pittsburgh thing in a minute. How cold it was. We went to those two Penguins games. But she was outside for 5 minutes, and she was wanting to call an Uber.
Yeah.
It was that bad.
My son asked me about going here last week, and I was checking the weather. And then obviously, you know, had that weird pneumothorax. He's getting needling and then punctured lung. I said, hey, buddy, your favorite player is probably not going to be there. And then I looked at the weather and I was like, yeah, we're not going.
Good reason not to go.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, if they play like they did last night, might the Steelers be able to make a playoff run, or are we just fooling ourselves here?
Could they win a game? Look, they're going to be the four, so they're going to play the five. So you're probably looking at either the Texans, the Chargers, maybe Buffalo.
That would be the worst case scenario.
Yeah, I think Buffalo's worst matchup.
anything to do with Buffalo.
Could they beat the Texans in Pittsburgh? Yeah, probably. That game feels to me like it's probably a 13-10 game one way or the other. Yep. But can they really hang? If they have to go to Denver, forget it. I don't care. I know people think we can go out there, but Denver's going to have probably the bye, it looks like, and the Mile High air. Ooh, I wouldn't want to be anybody going out into that.
No way. I mean, this season I think is going to be a lot like last season. I think there's going to be a lot of excitement. I think they will make the playoffs. Do I think they're going to do anything, you know, other than just getting in the playoffs? I don't know.
Rinse, wash, repeat.
That's it.
Yeah, this is really the worst thing I think that could have happened, because you're going to probably end up 9-8, maybe 10-7, but probably one of those two. And they're going to win the division, and so it's going to vindicate Tomlin and the ownership when nothing's really changed here.
Nope.
I mean, they're an average team. They beat below average teams. Like, Miami's a bad team, so they beat a bad team. They're probably going to beat Cleveland, who's another bad team. We'll get to it, but I really, really, spoiler alert, think they're going to give up a lot of points this weekend at Detroit. So if they go and shut down Detroit, then I reserve the right to change my opinion here.
Yeah.
But
well, I will say, now that the Chiefs have been slayed and Patrick Mahomes is out, you know what? I think the AFC is pretty wide open. I know that Buffalo, to me, is probably the scariest team, even over Denver. But
I don't know, man.
I don't know. I mean, I know Denver looked good, and I got to give Bo Nix his props for that game. He really came out in that game and impressed me. But it's all about matchups, and right now, as things stand right now, it looks like the Steelers would play, if I'm correct here, they would play the Bills, I believe.
Let me see here. No, I've got them playing there's tiebreakers involved, but I've got the Chargers at 5 and Buffalo at 6, Houston at 7, but Houston has the easiest schedule and the tiebreaker over Buffalo, which is why I really think at the end of the day, Houston should be ahead of Buffalo.
Okay, yeah, so I would take the Chargers matchup. That's probably the best one for me.
Yeah.
And then probably the Texans. And then if you can avoid Buffalo, and Buffalo could still win that division, quite honestly.
They could, but, you know, man, I'll tell you what, if New England would have won that game like they should have, man.
That was it?
Buffalo did their thing, and look, when he puts his cape on, he's as good as anybody. But the rest of their roster isn't that good, guys.
Do you think he wins MVP?
He should. I've been saying this for a month. If he doesn't, I don't understand what's going on. Yeah. He is carrying that team.
I think Matthew Stafford's going to win it, but I think there's probably a case that Josh Allen should win it. I
mean, I have no problem with Stafford, but the Rams have a really, really strong roster.
Yeah.
If you take Josh Allen off that team, that's the Jets.
They're
like 3-11. Yeah, I'm serious. That's how much he means to them.
And then if you look at the NFC playoff picture, that Rams-Seahawks game week looms large. Whoever wins that, I think, is going to take the one seed.
What about Tampa and Carolina, too? Look at that.
Absolutely.
There's some big games.
Just a week early on absolutely. A year early on the
I
Panthers.
Told everybody Carolina was coming.
It was just a year too early.
That's right. Only a year.
I know we have picks coming, but I am so annoyed that the biggest game of the week and one of the biggest of the season is on stupid Thursday Night Football, so we're not going to get the game we should get, because those Thursday Night games are always
a mess. Yeah, those games are a mess.
But you know it, but that is, I mean, the Thursday game is great, and then you've got Packers Bears on Saturday, and then as you know, Steelers Lions, you've got the game you talked about,
You know, Tampa and Carolina.
Yeah, we got Jaguars, Broncos. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jaguars, yeah, Broncos is a cool,
Patriots, really Ravens. I mean, hey, the Ravens are up against it. They, you know, they need to figure out something.
Go Pats.
Well, how big a trouble do you think the Packers are in now that Micah Parsons
out? What a shame. What a shame. They, I mean, they went all in to try and, you know, make a run, and then they, that's injuries of the great leveler for these teams.
They've lost, Christian Watson's out now, too, and Tucker Kraft.
I think Watson's okay.
Okay.
But Kraft is a problem. And they're, they, look, they've got a tough finishing schedule. I mean, they're at the Bears. That's going to be tough. Then they host the Ravens, and the Ravens are going to be fighting for their lives. And then they're at the Vikings. Do I think
division
I think the Packers win this week and win the division.
Green Bay's favored this week too.
Well, they should be. I don't believe. Look, Chicago has.
But it's at Chicago.
I know, but the, it's Packers. They're used to playing in that stuff. I'm not worried about that.
And the Lions are in the hunt here. So do they get in?
I think the Lions are. I don't think they're going to make it. I don't.
Well,
and I said that a couple weeks ago, and losing this week really hurt them.
I think it's going to come down to them or the Packers. Or the Bears. I mean,
Packers are a much better team than the Lions, at least right now. Even without, I really do. I think they're playing better football.
Better defense.
Yeah.
The Bears actually play the Lions in Week 18. Yeah. So who knows? That could be a game of implication there. Well, so.
What's interesting to me is Green Bay, if they win this week, they could easily get the 2 seed. And if they lose, they're in the 7 and potentially out. I mean, that's how close it is in the NFC. Up.
Yep. All right, it's time to get to a break. When we return, we'll make some weekly picks here. You're listening to Under Review, sponsored by Petula Eye Care, the Falls Creek Eagles, and Nebraska Plastic Surgery.
Let's get back to the action. You're listening to Under Review with Bob Anderson, Dave Glass, and Dave Herzing on Connect FM.
Welcome back to Under Review. This segment is sponsored by the Falls Creek Eagles, home of the Friday Night Fish Fry. Leave the cooking to them. What's the update on the standings? I know I didn't do well.
It's an ugly, ugly situation. None of us had winning records. For all the wacky picks that people were throwing out, you know, you were doing your thing. Early on, you were 4-2, and then you finished 2-8. So you ended up 6-10. Dave and I went 7-9. So he and I are still tied. After all that, we're still tied. Yes. Bob's 3 games back.
Uh-oh.
Going the wrong way.
He's still in it. But, I mean, guys, we're tied for first with records of 108 and 116. Bob is 105 and 119. We are not exactly killing it against the spread here.
No.
And here again, some of the spreads from last week that, you know, Buffalo – you know, it's a half point, and they, you know, just barely win. And there's so much of that goes on.
I don't bet.
No, I agree. I'm not saying.
The 49ers game, we all missed that one by a point, I believe.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look. But yeah, there was a whole bunch of that stuff. Once again, anything we agreed on generally didn't go very well for us, except Buffalo.
All right. Well, let's get to that Thursday night game. Rams 11-3 at the Seahawks 11-3. Rams favored on the road by 1.5. And this is the game, to me, that has shades of the Lions-Vikings game last year that all came down to the 1 seed and who was going to win the division. What do you got, Dave?
Man, it's so tough. These Thursday games are so tough. I think that's a fair line. I do think the Rams are slightly better than Seattle, but I think the short week, I think Seattle at home, I'm taking Seattle. I think it means more. I don't think LA cares so much what their seeding is. Of course they want to win. I'm not saying that. But, you know, Seattle's still kind of feeling that they have to prove themselves. So this thing could go either way, but I'm going to take Seattle.
I'm going to take the Rams. I was looking before the show. Darnold had 4 interceptions.
Last time they played.
So, you know, I'm going to take the Rams in this one.
Yeah, that's a big question for me. And if you give me Stafford or Darnold, I'm going to take Stafford. So I'm going to take the Rams, even though it doesn't look like Devontae Adams is going to play.
Yeah.
And that's a big loss for them.
Yeah, my God, any time I ever pick, if it's quarterback versus quarterback, and if there's a huge gap there in talent.
Well, and I just want to say that one of the reasons I did pick Seattle is I remembered those interceptions and the fact that other than that, Seattle should have won that game. They outplayed the Rams. So
Seattle should have lost this
one. They should have lost that game.
Philip Rivers, baby. Almost had it.
He did. All right, how about the Saturday games here? Eagles 9-5 at the Commanders 4-10. Eagles favored by 5.5, D.
I'd take the, if the Eagles are favored by 7.5, they can clinch the division. I'll take the Eagles. The Commanders stink.
Yep, I'm taking the Eagles too. Should be an easy win, which probably means it won't be. I see the Commanders are shutting Jaden Daniels down too. Yeah,
everything about this screams trap game to me. Again, I cannot bring myself to take Washington because I just don't know what they're playing for. But why is this only 5.5? Everything in my head is screaming red alert. There's something going on here because Philly should be favored in double digits in this game, but I can't do it. I'm taking Philly.
Okay, Packers, the big game here on Saturday night. 9-4-1 at the Bears, 10-4. Packers favored by 1.5. The winner takes over first in the NFC North. I'm taking the Bears here. Like we said before, the injuries are piling up for Green Bay.
I'm sticking with my Pack. I still think they're the better team. Williams still does some stuff that makes me shake my head a little bit. I know they pounded on the Browns, but look, the Browns completely gave up in that game. They're done. I would bet $500 that they fire their coach at the end of the year. They have tuned him out.
Yeah.
We'll get to them in a minute, but I really think this is a great game. I think it's close. I think this line is really accurate. But I'm going to stick. I took Green Bay to start the year, and I still have to stick with them.
Yeah, I think the Packers are a better team as well. I said it in the last segment. I'll say it again. I'm picking them here.
Okay, the Bills 10-4 at the Browns 3-11. Dave, I bet I know who you're taking. Bills are favored by 10.5.
Man, classic trap game. This line is huge, and I'm still taking Buffalo because I really think Cleveland has just checked out. And I know that he's not getting a lot of help, but Sanders looked horrible in that game.
Yeah.
Horrible. I can't see them. I certainly can't see Cleveland winning. And I think if they get down by 7 or 10 points, they just fold like a cheap suit.
Yeah. I was actually looking at I love looking at the ticket prices. It's a weird, curious thing I have of teams. They're saying now it's going to be like 80% Bills fans at this game because Browns fans have just checked out.
That's not
which
too
is,
far.
No, not at all.
It's the same weather.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then, you know, I think it'd be a cool thing if you were a Browns fan, maybe see the single season sack record. That'd be cool. But all that aside, I would take the Bills if this was a 14-point spread. Bills, I think, will absolutely smash this team. The Browns are just an awful, awful mess this year.
I'm not doing it. I'm taking the Bills,
I was waiting.
Bob had that look in his eye. I was like, oh, boy, he's going to pick the Browns.
I learned my lesson after last week. No more of that. All right, Chargers 10-4 at the Cowboys 6-7-1. Cowboys favored by 1.5. D, what do you got?
I'm going to take the Chargers here. The Cowboys right now are a mess. There's a lot of infighting with that team. Shocker, they talk about the Cowboys every 30 seconds on ESPN, and I guess there's a lot of issues in the locker room from what they're saying. So yeah, I'll take the Chargers in this one.
Yeah, just when I start to want to believe in the Cowboys, they start to stink. I'm going to take them though. You know what? They're at home. Give me the Cowboys trying to make up a game on you guys.
Yeah, you're not making a game up on me. I'm taking Dallas. They still have the much better offensive talent. They could easily blow this game, but when you look at the statistics, it's hard to figure why Dallas lost to Minnesota the other night because they actually outgained them. So they're a dangerous team, and both teams need it. But if Dallas loses, they're done. Their season's over. So this is kind of their back against the wall game.
I think they have 1% chance to make the playoffs. Chiefs are not making the playoffs, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Didn't you love waking up and seeing the little E beside the KC?
Eliminated. See you later. Get lost, Chiefs.
Injury. I gotta say, you know, that's not the way you want to see him go down. But
Gardner Minshew era starts now. Let's go.
So the Chiefs are 6-8 at the Titans, 2-12. KC favored by 3.5. How did the Chiefs perform in a meaningless game? I'm going to take the Titans here at home. They've lost 11 straight at home. They've got to break that streak sometime.
Boy, he's kicking a team when they're down. I honestly don't know what to make of it now because I can't tell. It's been so long since Kansas City was out of it. How are they going to react? Are they going to fold? Is Reed going to keep them engaged? Tennessee is awful. And KC has won too many games to get in the number one pick sweepstakes, you know. So I'm going to... I'm taking too many visitors. I'm going to take Kansas City anyway. Yeah, I just think they have a more talented roster.
Yeah, I'm take the Titans in this one. I think the Chiefs are cooked. I think that you look at the body language at the end of that game. Kelsey's completely washed. You know, he needs to go out on Taylor's next tour or whatever she's doing. So, yeah, I'll take the Titans in this
one. How many games have I picked up on you guys, especially you, when you took the Titans when you shouldn't have?
Yep, you're right. But I've also taken the Chiefs way too many times this year, and they haven't covered either. Jets 3-11 at the Saints, 4-10. Saints favored by 4.5, Dave.
Should we start believing in the Saints? I mean,
they've shown some life.
I mean, that quarterback, I know he's, what, 30 years old or 28 or whatever he is. No, I think
I
he's, what, 20?
In the draft.
I think he's 26. But look, I think they have the beginnings of a roster. The Jets are just out to lunch. I really don't believe in New Orleans, but I have to take them at home.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Saints. Well, these types of games, honestly, I love when we're talking about these. It's just like, this stinks, moving on.
Yeah, the Saints are 3-2 in their last five games, and their defense is giving up less than 18 points per game.
Two surprising wins, though, they've had. I mean, who in the heck? I mean, not me, that's
no,
for sure.
I'm taking the Saints. Vikings 6-8 at the Giants 2-12. Not sure what to make of this one, D. Vikings favored by 2.5.
I'll take the Vikings. Just, I mean, McCarthy's actually not been awful the past few games. I thought it was pretty cool. They showed him high-fiving all of the first responders, the cops, the servicemen and women. I thought that was actually a really cool gesture that they showed him doing before the game. So, yeah, I'll take the Vikings in this.
And that's the best news for the Vikings overall, is that McCarthy is starting to show that he belongs. And the Giants are giving up 31.5 points, nearly 400 yards of offense over an eight-game stretch. I'll take the Vikings here. And did you guys know that Dart has played 10 games this season and he's been checked for concussions in five of them?
That's a really bad sign. Yeah.
That's like Tua land.
Ooh. I was all ready to take the Giants in this, you know, dome team playing outside. And then I saw it's going to be 50 degrees. The weather is going to be a non-factor. The whole country's heating up for Christmas, which is weird. I'm taking Minnesota as well.
Okay, Buccaneers 7-7 at the Panthers 7-7. Bucks favored by 2.5. The matchup we've all been waiting for. And by the way, they play each other again in Week 18. I'm going to take the Bucks here. I probably shouldn't. I believe in them a little too much, but I just don't believe in the Panthers yet.
Well, I don't believe in either of these teams. And when I don't believe in either of these teams, I'm taking the home dog. If they end up losing, I think it'll be close. So I'm definitely going to take Carolina.
I'm going to take Carolina as well because Carolina's back.
They're back.
Let's go. I'm rooting for the Panthers. Let's go.
He's back on the Panthers bandwagon.
Right. That's right. You can't say I was a front runner. I was rooting for them last
year. There you go. Bengals 4-10 at the Dolphins 6-8. Dolphins favored by 1.5. Dave.
Oh, let's see here. What do you make of this? You got two teams, one of whom both of them look terrible this weekend. Just terrible.
That Cincy Ravens game, yuck. That was what was that?
Yeah.
Cincy looked terrible.
They mailed it in.
Both of them mailed it in, I think. But I've said all year, Miami's a different team at home. Cincinnati now has absolutely no reason to try to win at all. This is just like Bob. I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to take Miami.
Yeah, I'm going to take Miami. That's it. It's over for Cincy this season. Big rumor online was that Stairway's looking to maybe make a play for Burrow.
Oh, jeez.
That would be – could you imagine, though?
Oh, that'd be amazing.
That'd be amazing, but
– they'll never, ever, ever trade him in the division.
Well, you never know. I mean, stranger things have happened, but I'll tell you what, Burrow cannot be happy. Granted, they put the offensive pieces around him, but they gave him no help on the defensive side of the ball. He's never going to win anything in Cincinnati. He's got to get out of there.
I'm going to take the Bengals here. It's the old quarterback matchup, Burrow versus Tua. Yeah. Give me Burrow. Jaguars 10-4 at the Broncos 12-2. D, Broncos favored by 2.5.
I'm going to take the Broncos. They're the hottest team in the NFL, and they're going to continue to roll. I'll take the Broncos.
Yeah, they've won 11 in a row. Yep. Jacksonville's won 5 in a row, but I'm taking the Broncos as well. And I have to say, for the first time last week, I really felt like the Broncos are legitimate.
Well, they play down to their competition, and they have. But Jacksonville's a good team, and they're 7-0 at home. This does feel a little bit like a letdown game because Denver doesn't actually need this game now, but they want that bye. If they get home field throughout the AFC, I defy anybody to go out there. I said that earlier. So I can't go against Denver. They're 7-0 at home. No way.
Falcons 5-9 at the Cardinals 3-11. Falcons favored by 1.5. Cardinals have lost 6 in a row. They're 1-6 at home. I can't take them. They've lost the last two games by 48 points. Give me the Falcons.
I'll tell you what, this just screams that, you know, this is exactly the game Atlanta loses over and over again.
Well, they beat Tampa last week, and they were all pumped up. I mean, I don't know. I'll make my pick because there's no way in the world I can take Arizona here either. That team is just as bad as any team. They're worse. I think they might be worse than the Titans.
I'm taking Arizona, not because of what you just said there, just because they're another home dog. And this is I just don't trust Atlanta. I don't trust Atlanta not to go out there and just make four turnovers and do something dumb.
Raiders 2-12 at the Texans 9-5. Texans favored by 14.5.
That's the Kenny Pickett effect right there, ladies and gentlemen.
That's got to be one of the biggest spreads of the year, Dave. It's your pick.
Oh, I hate this. I hate this. This is, if we're just picking straight up, this is Houston all day as the lock of the week and blah, blah, blah. 14.5 points is in the NFL, that
might as well be 50.
And Houston has a great defense, but I'm not sure I believe in their offense. I mean, I could see them winning 20-10, you know, and therefore I'm taking Vegas just because it's too many points, but I don't feel good about it because this game could easily be 31-0 also.
I can't ever root for Kenny Pickett, buddy. Pickett's looks just like just like he did when he was playing for Stairway. The dude is a bum. Give me Houston in this one. I mean, it's actually funny to watch him, how many chances that guy continues to get.
First-round pick effect, too.
I'm telling you, it's unbelievable.
I'm going to take the Texans here, too. I'm just not sure how the Raiders score in this game.
It'll be another backdoor cover where they, kick a field goal at the end.
How great would that be if that happens again? That'd be the best.
All right, Patriots 11-3 at the Ravens 7-7. Sunday Night Football, Ravens favored by 2.5.
Oh, really? Ravens are favored?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. No, I'll take the Patriots. Yeah. I want nothing to do with that.
Yeah, I'm taking the Patriots too. Ravens are 3-5 at home this year. Patriots are a perfect 6-0 on the road.
I think I don't know what to make.
That's a weird line.
This is the second screwy line we've seen, and it's like, what are they seeing that I'm not? I mean, look, I know they beat Cincinnati this week and looked a lot better in doing it, but Burrow was way off his feet in that game. New England should be 12-2. Really should be 13-1. There's no way Pittsburgh should have beat them. It took five turnovers to do it. But that line, why? It's weird. I'm taking New England because I just want to root for them. As much as I hate to say that, but because I'm certainly not a fan of the Pats either. But I'm just, that's another screwy line. I'm just putting that out there that they should be favored by 3.
What? And then I looked, I'm like, holy heck.
They should be favored by 3.
And lastly, the Monday night football game, the 49ers 10-4 at the Colts 8-6. 49ers favored by 5.5. I'm going to take them, 49ers. They've won 4 in a row. The Colts have lost 4 in a row. Rivers gave them a nice shot in the arm last week. I don't know if he can do it again. And they're very, very limited now and some big injuries on that Colts team.
Yeah, the Colts are going to try to establish the run, and that's not going to fly against San Francisco. This is another line. I understand they're on the road, blah, 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 but they should probably be favored by 8 or 9 given the Colts situation. I'm taking San Francisco.
I'm going to take Indy just because I was so fascinated with Phillip Rivers. And I'll tell you what, he actually didn't play all that badly.
No.
Did you see his
emotional speech?
Yeah, I did.
The kids are watching.
Hey, I'll tell you, good for Rivers. Give me the Colts.
Yep. That'll do it for all but one game. When we return, we'll break down that Steelers matchup, talk a little college football, and touch on some other topics. You're listening to Under Review, sponsored by the Falls Creek Eagles on Connect FM.
Hey, halfway through,
You're listening to Under Review Sports Talk. More takes, more talk, more sports. Let's go back to the guys.
Welcome back to Under Review. This segment is sponsored by Lebraska Plastic Surgery, where they make you look and feel your best. We have to make our Steelers-Lions predictions. Both teams 8-6. The Steelers traveling out to Detroit. Detroit is favored by 6.5. Dave, what do you got in this one?
Well, I just can't see them hanging with Detroit. Detroit's a great offense. Now, Detroit really struggled on defense. They gave up over 500 yards to the Rams. But
their secondary is really banged up.
This is the team they want to play, right? The Steelers don't generally get a lot of separation. And I believe in the Monday night factor. You know, Pittsburgh played last night. It was cold. It was kind of miserable. Yeah, they won. Now they've got the short week on the road. I really like Detroit in this game. I'm taking Detroit.
Yep, me too. They need it more than the Steelers do. The Steelers can lose the next two, as we talked about, and still win this division. So I'm going to take Detroit here as well. I don't think they can keep up with the track meet that this is probably going to turn out to be. I'm going to say Lions 31, Steelers 20.
Yeah, that sounds pretty close. I actually am going to go like 38-24 because I think Pittsburgh will be able to move the ball, but I think there's going to be a lot of big plays that Detroit hits on them. And D also, he had to leave, but he actually surprisingly took Detroit. That's about only the second time he hasn't taken Stairway all year, I think.
I know. He must not be a believer quite yet here. Let's talk a little college football here. We didn't get a chance to talk about our predictions for the bracket here. We know that Indiana got the one seed, Ohio State's two, Georgia's three, and Texas Tech is four. They all got first round byes, and it kicks off Friday night here, I think, with Oregon and JMU. Do you see any team who didn't get a bye? Do you think any of them have a realistic chance to actually maybe win this thing?
Oh, man. So you got
Alabama, Oklahoma, Tulane, Ole Miss, and Miami and Texas A&M as well.
Look, Oregon getting to play JMU is like half a bye. So they have if you're talking about the non-bye teams, I would probably give them the best chance. And then second to that would be I would have absolutely taken Ole Miss. As much as I really despise Lane Kiffin, there's no question he's built something great there. But now he's gone. It's kind of a mess. They've got an interim coach. You don't know how that's going to go. I do think they'll beat Tulane, but then they have to play Georgia. So I think, and then Miami, Texas A&M, that's really tough. And then the winner gets Ohio State. That's probably the worst draw. So if any non-bye team was going to make a run, I'd say Oregon. But frankly, I think Texas Tech is in the driver's seat here because, they get Oregon probably, and they can handle that. And then they would get,
Indiana or Alabama, and I like
Indiana, but I think I would rather play Indiana than Ohio State.
Definitely. Yeah. You want to be on that side of the bracket.
So if that's the case, Texas Tech has, kind of like Pittsburgh or Penn State did last year, kind of an open window to get to the final potentially. Not saying Indiana is an easy out. I'm not saying that at all, but I would much rather be on that side than the other.
I think I'm not that I watch it much, but I have to think that Oregon does have a fighting chance here. I mean, they look like one of the best teams there at the beginning of the season for sure. I like Dante Moore. So maybe they can surprise and upset Texas Tech, and who knows from there. Now, as far as Indiana goes, Fernando Mendoza won the Heisman Trophy on Saturday. He became the first player from Indiana to win the award. Do you think he'll be the first pick in the draft?
I think at this point, I mean, look, the evaluators are going to watch how he plays against this top competition, right? But he showed me something with the way he played against Penn State down the stretch. That pass he made, that last drive and especially that last pass, and then he made the big plays against Ohio State when he needed to. He's going to have to do that again against, probably Texas Tech and frankly, probably Alabama. Oklahoma has really struggled down the stretch. But if Indiana gets to the final, they're going to do it by winning a couple of big games. So I think, unless he really shows something bad in the next month, I think he's the inside track to be number one.
All right. I didn't get your prediction, though, on the bracket. Who do you think wins it all? Ohio State again?
It's just hard for me to go against Ohio State. I mean, they had a lot of things go against them in that championship game, and they were right there. I no disrespect to Indiana. What he's built there is amazing. I do think Ohio State having to get by Georgia is tough, but they're the best until they show me that they're going to lose in the playoff, I'm going to go with them. I really think it could be an Indiana-Ohio State rematch. I really do.
Yeah, and you know what? When Indiana beat them in that Big Ten championship, I was thinking that. Did that game even really matter, quite frankly?
I think it mattered more to Indiana. I think Indiana had to prove to themselves that they could stand toe-to-toe with a team like that because, they've been great, but you could make the argument before that game that they didn't have a quote-unquote signature win, right? You can't make that argument now. I think Ohio State wanted it, but they didn't need it, especially since they changed the system and they got the bye anyway. So, yeah, I agree with you, Bob.
They just know when to turn it up, too. Ohio State does. So I kind of left this segment open here, Dave. I didn't know if you had anything that you really wanted to discuss. If not, I got a couple topics we can touch on.
Well, go ahead and I'll come
All right.
up with something.
Joe Burrow, did you hear the comments that he made?
I did, and I read a lot of, I'll call it interpretation of them.
All right. How do you interpret it?
Well, I wasn't there and I don't know him, but the stuff I read from the people who cover Cincinnati indicate that you shouldn't read it as he wants to pull an Andrew Luck and
That's
leave.
That's what I was worried about.
You know,
that would be a real shame to see him retire early.
They said the beat writers that I read on The Athletic said he's very competitive. He's frustrated. It's not his way of asking out. It's his way of saying he's frustrated. Now he went out and played one of the worst games of his career this week, which, you know, that troubles me more than the words that he really did not. And he admitted after the game, it was his fault. Everybody's entitled to a bad game, but I'm watching him closely this week. If he checks out against Miami, then it's like, ooh, you know, what's going on here? But remember, this guy took the cast off his own foot when the doctors told him not to, so he could get back as quick as he could. I think it's a little disingenuous to question his commitment and toughness after what he just went through.
I think it's just hard to play on a team that you know you're not playing for anything. And that you can almost see the life being sucked out of that whole team, plus Joe Burrow when they lost to the Bills. And that interception that he threw that ended up costing them the game, really. I think it really took a toll on them. Last week, they just didn't have anything to play for. We'll see if they bounce back this week. But like I said, it would be a real shame to see him retire. I know he's in our division, but I still don't want him to
He's way
to go
too
anywhere.
Young for that. Yep. In my mind, he's a like first ballot Hall of Famer right now. I mean, he should definitely, he's a top five quarterback in this league, maybe top three. I would trade the whole Steelers draft for him. I mean it. I mean, he's that good.
Yep. Well, speaking of that, did you see Lenora Sellers and Arch Manning are staying in school?
That's a smart. I don't know as much about Sellers, but Manning, I watched him enough this year. That is a very smart decision. He is not ready.
How about Dante Moore? Should he come out? He hasn't made a decision yet.
He's only
20 years old.
As weak as the quarterback draft is, here's my thing. I always think that the kids should do what's ever in their own best interest, right? Because Drew Aller should have come out, and he stayed for Penn State's sake, and he cost himself a lot. He's going to be, what, a second, third-round pick probably now? He was a consensus first-round pick after last year. I had my doubts, but I think somebody would have taken a chance. And now, I don't think any talent evaluator is going to take maybe middle of the second round. So if Moore has enough people telling him he can be a mid to late first round pick, he should absolutely come out.
Here's another story that popped up even last week that I didn't get a chance to ask you about. The big story brewing from Olympic hockey. Did we talk about that last week? I don't think we did.
I think we touched on it, but man, yeah, we should talk about this.
Okay, so Bill Daly is saying if the ice in Milan isn't safe, the NHL players are not going to the Olympics. That's a real issue because this new arena is behind schedule. The rink itself is going to be a few feet shorter than an NHL sheet. And their league really isn't convinced that the ice quality is going to be up to standards. So you know, the Olympics are saying, don't worry, it's all going to be fine. It's going to work out. But how disappointed would you be if the players don't go to Italy?
Well, let me start with this. I'm not the hugest fan of the NHL's front office and Gary Bettman and Bill Daly. And for me to say I'm 100% behind them on this tells you what I think of the IOC. The IOC and Italy have screwed this up so bad. I saw a picture of that arena late last week. It's nowhere near ready.
No, it doesn't look anywhere near.
It's like, oh my goodness. I mean, and normally they want to by now be playing, you know, practice events in there to see, you know, test the ice quality. They're going to be going out there almost sight unseen. These guys are you know, you can, I know they're just, they're human beings, but for the teams, they're multi-million dollar contracts and liabilities is what they are. And they're not going to send them to the Olympics and watch one of them tear an ACL because of bad ice, which is a real possibility. I will be disappointed, but I've got to be honest with you, Bob. The Olympics have become such a corrupt morass that I would be okay with this if it wakes up the world to this whole thing needs reformed. And you know, it's always down to the last minute with some of this stuff and all this, you know, corruption and craziness. Maybe if they don't go, maybe it'll wake people up to the idea that, you know, this system stinks and they need to do something better.
Yeah, and I don't think it'll be men's ice hockey that does it, though.
I don't know.
You know, but if they do go, I mean, you got to consider this might be the USA's best chance in a long time to maybe dethrone Canada.
Well, I do think they have a great chance. I don't know, or is Tkachuk healthy enough to play?
Well, right now he isn't, but by then he might be.
And there's a lot of hockey between now and then. Guys can get hurt. Guys can come back. I definitely think it's the USA's best chance.
Well, and the big talk in Canada is the lack of goaltending. The lack of goaltending is really hurt them. Now, Binnington played in the Four Nations tournament, but he's so hot and cold, and he's not having a good year. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. With their goaltending
situation. Well, as good as their blue line is, all they need is a goalie not to lose it for them. I don't think they need a goalie to steal the game. Canada, lest we forget, as much as we're hyping the Americans, Canada is just ridiculously deep. Sidney Crosby is probably their third line center at this point, maybe their fourth line center. They are really, really good.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. But we'll talk more about hockey, ice hockey, hopefully Olympic hockey down the road.
Yep.
We got to talk some Penguins hockey, though, when we get back. We'll do that right here. You're listening to Under Review on Connect FM, sponsored by Labraska Plastic Surgery.
Let's get back to the action. You're listening to Under Review with Bob Anderson, Dave Glass, and Dave Herzing on Connect FM.
Welcome back to Under Review. This segment is brought to you by Fetula Eye Care. From eye exams to contacts and more, Dr. Dan has you covered. In full transparency, we are recording this episode on Tuesday prior to the Penguins game against Edmonton. That's going to be a fun one to watch, the Tristan Jarry return. Before we get to Tristan Jarry in that trade, though, Dave, I want to talk to you about this troubling trend that has developed with the Penguins. They can't hold a lead. They blew 2 3-goal leads over the weekend. You were there for both of them, and now they've lost 6 times in 15 games when they lead after 2 periods. What's going on here?
Well, it's a lot of things. I mean, some of it's bad luck, to be fair, but a lot of it is just bad defense. And you're right, I was there. And so when I'm at a game, I try to look at the bigger picture, not just the puck carrier, but the things going on. And I saw a lot of bad habits. I saw guys flying the zone with the lead, looking for cheap points rather than playing team defense. I'll call Crosby out for that on Saturday, and I'm going to call Kevin Hayes out for it big time on Sunday. And he ended up getting benched for it. I saw a defense corps that's really not fast enough. Clifton got absolutely walked on the second goal on Sunday, and then didn't defend the rebound either. Letang is lost out there. I mean, he is lost.
Yeah.
He wasn't the direct only reason they lost those games, but he is way a net negative now. I mean, he's not doing anything on offense. He makes bad passes, and he just doesn't defend. I mean, Erik Karlsson is a better defender than Chris Letang now. And so it's all these things. They scored more than enough goals to win these games. Even came back against Utah, which I thought they might end up losing that 7-3, when you blow a 3-0 lead that quick. But it's more than, I mean, you hit it. It's not just 2 bad games. It goes back, you know, they blew it against Anaheim earlier. They blew the Dallas game 6 times in 15 games, man. That's horrible. That's unprecedented. What I saw over the weekend was unprecedented. That's never happened in Pittsburgh history.
See, to me, I think it's more mental than it is physical for the team. I don't think it's schematic. I don't think it's coaching. I mean, maybe personnel a little bit with Letang and Karlsson, but you know, I've heard people say, bench Karlsson or bench Letang. Well, who are you going to put in there?
I know who I'd put in, and I'm going to keep banging this drum. Brunick is better than Letang today. And yeah. I'm sick of this idea that just because he's young and made mistakes, Letang's making mistakes every single day. If his name wasn't Letang and he didn't have that contract, he would be like Dumba sitting on the bench. There's no difference between him
Maybe
and Dumba.
Dumba.
In fact, Dumba is better than him at this point, and it's just legacy. And I hate it when legacy is what's driving this stuff.
Well, it's kind of like when you get the yips, you know, when you're putting and you start missing putts and then it gets in your head. I think that's happened team-wide here.
I didn't see that as much. I saw some bad decisions
I'm talking
Saturday.
About late in the game.
Yeah, yeah.
As soon as they give up a goal, then the snowball starts rolling down.
Saturday was weird because Saturday we'd completely dominated that game until the last 6 minutes.
Yeah, and Brian Rust, if he scores there, the game's put on ice.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, and I think after that game, I felt like, okay, if they get a lead tomorrow and then they give up a goal, watch them. And I did. On Sunday, I saw they got deer in headlights looks. Like, they, for 6 minutes there, they were just like, oh, I don't know what to do. And so yeah, you are 100% right that it is mental. I mean, the fact that they keep talking about the fact that they shouldn't be talking about it tells me that they, in the second intermission, and they were interviewing, one of the defensemen. I think it was Shea, and they were asking him, he's like, oh, we shouldn't even be thinking about that. Mm-hmm. But then he talked about it. I'm like, but you are thinking about it. Yep, I'm not gonna lie. You and I have played hockey. We'd be thinking about it if we blew six of them like that.
Yeah. Well, now they have dropped 13 of their past 19 games. I think it's coming down to, they are who we thought they were, maybe at the beginning of the season, but let's talk about this trade. One reason why they had such a good start to the season was a play of Tristan Jarry. He's gone now. He's traded to Edmonton for Stuart Skinner, Brett Kulik, and a 2029 second round pick. Grade the trade.
Oh, it's at least a B+, maybe an A. Here's the thing. Yes, Tristan Jarry was great to start this year. Nobody can deny that. But I have said from day one, sell high. Always sell high. And sell high to a desperate team, and sell high to a desperate team that gives you a goalie that's younger and has a similar track record. If you widen out and look beyond these last few weeks, Skinner is probably better than Jarry. Certainly, they're very, very comparable.
Playoffs, anyhow.
Yeah, okay. He had a bad Stanley Cup final. How we'd love to have a bad Stanley Cup final from Jarry.
I keep hearing that all the time. Well, Skinner's lost them two Stanley Cup finals, but he got them there.
He got them there. Yeah, I'll take right now. Who wouldn't Pittsburgh wouldn't take that? So, look, Jarry might end up winning them a Stanley Cup final. And I look, full disclosure, I hope he does.
I hope he plays well there,
too. I do, too. But this was a trade, and this tells me more than anything how much power that the GM has in this organization. Because this is not the sort of trade you make if you're worried about your locker room, if you're worried about your future. You know, they did have a winning record. They were in playoff position, and he traded the starting goalie. Dubas clearly knows that this is my team, I can do what I want, and I've got this picture, and I'm going to stick with it. And I commend him. I thought it was a fantastic move.
Yep, I do too. I give him an A as well, I'm going to give him an A. Late last season, you could have had Tristan Jarry for free off of waivers. Just take the contract, and we're happy, and you get something in return. I think, you know, if things go south for the Penguins, they could probably flip Kulik at the deadline and get something for
maybe
him.
Skinner. Hey, maybe Skinner comes in and is great, and you can flip him.
Yeah.
Because, look, I know Murashov lost that game Sunday, but Utah was outplaying them. Murashov was great.
The only one that I really didn't like was the overtime goal. But other than that, I thought what are you going to do? You know, and really goaltending is as much about the team in front of you as it is about the goalie itself. That's why I always think a save percentage more is a team stat than a goalie stat.
Well, you got to look at grade A chances, not just save percentage.
High danger chances. Yep. So I do think that this trade speaks to the lack of goaltending in the NHL, as I spoke about. I think that if you're Edmonton, they kind of put themselves in a bad spot here with this. They almost had to take a chance on them. They should have maybe bet on maybe a Carter Hart, perhaps. Detroit got John Gibson over the offseason. Maybe that would have been a better option. Look,
Gibson's been terrible for Detroit.
He has been terrible. Yeah, you're right. But the Jarry trade was the big news for a day. But it was quickly forgotten by a blockbuster. The Wild acquired star defenseman Quinn Hughes for Marco Rossi, ZBM, a prospect, and a first-round pick in 2026. Who do you like in that deal?
Well, I think it's a fair deal. I mean, here's the thing. We talked about this. I thought we were going to come on this week and talk about what it would take for Pittsburgh to get Hughes.
Oh.
Because, it just started to trickle out that he was probably going to get moved, and I figured it would be probably in January, February. And it's like, well, we got all these assets. Would you give up a Kindle, and we were going to go back and forth. And now it doesn't matter because the Wild stepped in and did a Godfather offer. And he's probably the second or third best defenseman in the league. And he's not a rental. He's got another year. And that second year is a big thing to me. If it was just a rental, I probably wouldn't have given up this much. But they think that he's a difference maker And if they can re-sign him, then it's absolutely worth everything they paid. And they gave up a ton for him. And if you're Vancouver and it's the die is cast that you're rebuilding, then you have to take this deal. I don't know why you wouldn't, because you've got two, maybe three really solid players out of it, depending on how the draft pick works out.
Yeah, and I think he was going for a change of scenery regardless. So I really love this trade for Minnesota. I think it puts them right up there with the elite in the West now. They can compete perhaps with Colorado and Dallas, maybe. Well, they're going for it.
That division is clearly the best in hockey now. I mean, it's just stacked top to bottom, and... Yeah, kudos to Billy Guerin for going for it. That's why you play the game, right? Their window's open, and they're going to take a shot. I think the power is all in the West. I'm really happy that if we didn't get him, they didn't go to the East. I really didn't want to see him in Jersey.
Exactly, with his brother. All right, Dave, well, it is time to get lost. What do you got?
Oh, man. Well, I already hit on it, but hashtag get lost to Kevin Hayes. I hear he's a really nice guy. And my son says that he does a really good job on Spittin' Chiclets, and I hope he gets on with his life's work, because clearly he has no business playing NHL hockey anymore.
Yeah, we took that contract only for the second round pick part of it that came with it.
Well, that's fine, but just staple him to the bench. Play the kids.
Yep. I'm going to say hashtag get lost to the Carolina Panthers defender who hit Tyler Shuck in the head as he was sliding to the ground with seconds left on the clock. You can win the division here. You cannot make mental mistakes like that. Move the ball up 15 yards, allowed the Saints to win the Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl?
Or the, sorry.
Whoa!
Win the game. That was like their Super Bowl. Hey, that'll do it for this week's show. Remember, we won't be back until January, but search for us on Under Review for Dave, or for on Spotify for Dave and Dave. I'm Bob. We'll catch you in 3 weeks right here on Connect FM.